After the sign of peace, the priest takes the bread into which the Spirit of God has been breathed and which has become the body of Christ, and he breaks the bread. And one of the oldest names for Mass or the Eucharist was the breaking of the bread. But this bread is no longer just the bread. When we break it, we're saying that the body of Jesus was broken for us, or as we say, for the life of the world. That the bread must be broken in order to be shared by everyone. If it's not broken, it cannot be shared. Similarly, the body of Jesus had to be broken on the cross for the whole world to be fed with the life of God, which is our true life. So that the breaking of the bread looks back to the death of Christ, a death that brought life to the world, that nourished the world, that nourishes us here and now. But it also looks to the commission that the church receives to be the body broken. Once we break the bread and then share the broken bread, we are saying that we too will be the body broken for the life of the world. So that the breaking of the bread is a crucial part of the Mass. It's looking back and looking now to what we are called to be and do, and looking forward to what will follow beyond the end of Mass, where we will commit ourselves to be a church that really is the body broken and the blood poured out for the life of the world. Once the bread is broken, the priest will hold up the body of Christ and the chalice, which is the blood of Christ, and say, "Behold the Lamb of God, the Lamb of sacrifice." And this language takes us way back into the book of Exodus, the story of the liberation of the slaves from Egypt, where they ate the lamb of the Passover. Jesus is the Lamb, and he now is the feast, the Lamb of the feast that we are about to share. Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. Now this again is important because it's the language of the New Testament, the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation towards the end looks to the great feast of the Lamb at the end of time, when God will be all in all, when there will only be the joy of the feast. There will be no darkness, there will be no tears, there will be no cry of mourning. So the great feast that God has prepared at the end of time, the Messianic banquet, that's the wedding feast of the Lamb, the marriage of the Lamb and the bride, which is the church. So here at this moment, when the priest holds up the body and blood of Christ and says, "Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb," he's not talking about here and now, just. He's also looking forward to that moment when this feast that we now share will become the great feast, when there is only the feast and when the ecstasy of God is complete. So that again, the Mass looks back, it looks to the present, and it looks to the future. Past, present, and future are all gathered up into this moment of eternity, as it were, that God has provided.